Love the old cringy version of yourself too. I'll ask you to gather previous versions of your website, look through those. I'll ask you to look at posts on social media. Anything that you have that tells us something about who you've been and who you are and who you want to be. This is not about sharing everything about you that could possibly be talked about. It is about connecting to your why.
You're listening to The Artist Business Plan, presented by The Super Fair. This episode, co-founder James Millie speaks with content marketing strategist Hannah Johnson about building your artistic brand.
We want the environment to reflect the mediums that you're working in, the textures that are in your work, the colors, the type of space that your artwork is going to live in.
Connecting with your why and identifying your North Star. That's coming up after this message.
You know that feeling when your art finally looks complete, perfectly framed and ready to hang? Well, that's exactly what Frame It Easy helps you do. They make custom framing super simple. Any size, tons of styles, and the widest selection of matte board colors that can even match directly from your artwork. Plus, you can preview it all in their 3D frame designer to make sure you've got the perfect fit. And if you're an artist selling your work, this part's huge. Frame It Easy can handle everything. Printing, framing, packaging, and shipping straight to your customers. Total done-for-you framing fulfillment, your branding included. So you can spend less time fulfilling and more time creating. Check them out at frameiteasy.com for the coolest custom framing you can find.
What is your first memory of art?
So when I was probably about 4 or 5, I guess that's kindergarten time, I had a teacher come in with a guest, and it was a lady showing her paintings of the life in the Midwest. So she was painting foxes and deer and possums and animals like that. And for some reason, it is such a vivid memory in my mind. I don't know why, but I was obsessed with the possum paintings. I still think possums are very cool, but the way that she painted them was so, it was colorful. It was like rainbow opossums, and it was so amazing. So I went home and I started making like 3D possums to hang with craft string everywhere in my house. And I kid you not, I think I had 50 or 60 of them hanging in the basement of the home I was in. I think it was in St. Louis. And no one knew until they went down and saw my little craft project. But it was so soothing for me. I still do crafts like that or create things when I see someone that makes something that's inspiring like that, because it's just soothing to me to just do the same thing as they're doing. But that's a very specific memory of my first interaction with art.
That might be my favorite response I've heard so far. Not only do I want to see this artist's rainbow opossum paintings, but I also want to see this room filled with
craft. With string, with brown craft string everywhere. My mother was probably more mad than she let on that I had to cut all those off of all the pipings and stuff. Yeah. rough for her.
Today we've got Hannah Johnson here with us. Hannah is going to walk us through how she helps artists build their brand. Hannah, aka Hanala, is a content marketing strategist for artists, creatives, and right-brained entrepreneurs. She aims to ensure that each creative she works with has an intentional strategy, authentic content creation plan, and valuable feedback to showcase their value on social media and beyond. Welcome to the Artist Business Plan, Hannah.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
What is the first piece of advice that you give to an emerging artist that is curious about building a brand for themselves?
The first piece of advice I give is actually to ask other people who have bought from your work or who have enjoyed what you make. That could be friends and family, could not be. I would get a few different people, a variety of people, and ask them, what was it about my work that compelled you to engage with it, to buy it, to comment on it? And what was the difference of your before and after, before experiencing my work and after? So what was your internal state? What was your view on the world before you interacted with my artwork? And what happened after? What was the shift or change or aha moment that you experienced before interacting with it? Even if it's super simple, let's say, you know, even if my work isn't really commenting too much on things that are very psychological or making too many statements, it still is doing something to that person. It's opening up their mind to the possibility of a different way of seeing the world. And we don't buy from people who make amazing things. We buy from people who make us feel seen and open our minds to new things. So that's the goal, is to make a living doing what you love. So don't be afraid to ask people what that is, what that amazing thing is about what you do, and amplify it and talk about it and be brave and state what your value is explicitly as often as possible, because no one else is going to do it the way that you can do it. And we deserve to know what you're making because you're putting effort into it. So be proud of it and ask other people if you have trouble articulating that. Go out and ask other people what their opinion is of your work.
I love it. I love it. Sometimes the easiest way to know how to create a new artist statement or how to talk about your work is just to ask other people.
Let's celebrate who you are. You're pretty great. Let's talk about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So how do you assist artists in distilling their story for branding purposes?
So the how of how it gets done is, number one, a lot of self-led introspection time, a lot of time filling out prompts. I send you information about all the things that could be helpful to gather to understand who you are and what you do. So I'll ask you to gather previous versions of your website, look through those. I'll ask you to look at posts on social media, brainstorming, journaling prompts, anything that you have that tells us something about who you've been and who you are and who you want to be. Those are things that, step one, we have to gather all of those in one place and look at them. And then the next step is having a call with me where I show you an outside perspective of all the gaps that we need to fill, things that I want to know more about as someone who's interested in artists. That's what I do, is I get interested in what I don't know about you. And we go through it together step by step to create a kind of North Star strategy document so that you know exactly what you should be talking about, what you shouldn't be talking about, and what things are going to be relevant to get you the results that you want. So it's kind of a way of saying, okay, I wake up every day and I have to post something, or I have to think about social media in almost every day because it's so important. But if we could have a cheat sheet, so to speak, of this is who I am, this is what I know my purpose is when I'm communicating myself, then it takes a lot of the mental energy off your plate and it makes it easier to make it happen. So as far as what should be talked about and what should be on that plan and what should not be on that plan, the most important thing is, number one, you don't have to share things that you're not comfortable sharing. So if you're thinking about sharing something and you feel in your body or in your mind, you feel like, oh, I don't feel like it's time to share this yet. I feel maybe a little bit sweaty. I feel scared. I feel uneasy. That means that you don't have to do that. You don't have to share those things. This is not about sharing everything about you that could possibly be talked about. It is about connecting to your why.
Like, kind of looking through previous versions of your website really stood out to me because there's always this mindset that, okay, the newest thing that you've made is like, you know, that is the best version of what you've done. And you should practically just burn and throw away everything ever done. But, you know, sometimes when you look back 10 years ago, okay, yes, there's some cringeworthy things that you might have said on your website or something like that. But you know, you had something that was rooted in why you made that previous version of your website, or why you made work in the past before your art has become what it is now. A lot of the times I find that some of the very first themes that I included in my art are actually the themes that I still care the most about. And so I repeat them in my art. And so, just kind of recognizing, okay, why would you have made those in the first place? And don't discount it, even if it's something that you made a while ago.
Yeah, love the old cringy version of yourself too. Because you're just growing. Yes. Yeah.
Some Facebook posts, no. But
that beef you had with your aunt about the Infinity War, don't post that. So let's say I have lots of interesting things about me, lots of things that could be interesting to somebody, maybe on a personal Instagram page. But not all of those things need to be on my business page. What should be on my business page is why I do what I do and things that can relate to why I do what I do. So let's say, for example, I'm an elopement photographer, and I want to talk about why I do what I do, which is that I love celebrating love. So I'm going to talk about my passion for my work, my shoots, my vision for my work, my dreams, my goals, my process, and my client testimonials. Those are all super relevant. Things that could be pulled into that is, I've been doing some reading on things that are interesting to me, like the philosophy of love or the philosophy of great picture taking or curating events. That's relevant to why you do what you do. But maybe let's say, I went to the gym yesterday and I got super excited about my new personal PR. That's really not that related to why you do what you do. But if you could relate it, then you could totally talk about it. But we want to make sure that we're always signaling in people's minds why you're there and why you're posting in the first place. So that's kind of my rule of thumb, is to think about the why and if you can relate it.
So what do you look for in a photo of an artist to make it worth sharing?
Yes. I want the facial expressions in the photo to be really relaxed. I want to see you enjoying yourself in the photo. And I want to see that you're in a state of flow. So for example, if you're taking the photos and your photographer is kind of posing you and you get those shots and say, okay, great. If they don't instruct you to do that, I would say start moving and creating and doing your work while they're there and say, hey, can we just try a few shots like this just to see how they might end up? So it would look like you, in this example, throwing pottery and enjoying yourself, talking about the process and documenting all of that with a photo. Those photos are so wonderful to see on a website because I can see your joy. I can see your concentration, your love for your craft and what you do. And that's what's most important for me in a photo, is that we're not just showing, yeah, I checked the check marks, here's my face, you can see what I look like, but this is the world that I live in.
When you are, you know, following your North Star, and you have everything pointing back to this singular direction, this mission that you're creating, like you said about like the PR at the gym, like if, you know, if it's just a photo of you, okay, great. That's, yes, it's a photo of you, but it's not really connecting back to your work and what it is that you're sharing with people. So making sure that the photos feel connected is going to take it that step further. And they're not only going to connect with you as a face, but they will connect with you as an artist and your work and what your life looks like. Absolutely.
So my background is actually photography. I was a photographer and I loved taking pictures of people. It's an art form in itself. So my first piece of advice is that selecting a photographer with really good people skills is super essential. That's the behind the scenes of how these photos get made and get made great.
As a fellow photographer, I definitely hear you. If you are taking photos for your social media or your website, and you are working with a photographer, that photographer, theoretically, you should not have to be a good model in any capacity. If you're working with a good photographer, they will get you looking and feeling natural, and they're going to be able to instruct you without you having to be a professional model.
Having a photographer to help you get candid, which means get unaware of the camera, is really important. You know, besides the headshot on your profile and your bio page, I'm always looking for candid moments. That's what I want. the environment is super important, because if you take an artist out into an environment, let's say they're a potter, you take them out into an environment and say, okay, we're going to go in this colorful alley with some background artwork on the wall downtown. That's not really speaking to you and what you make. It is artistic, but we want the environment to reflect the mediums that you're working in, the textures that are in your work, the colors, the type of space that your artwork is going to live in. So it really takes an understanding of what is it that you make and what's the best way to visualize that so that we can see it and get a sense of what you bring to the table. So environment is super important.
So one of the services that you provide is helping artists create content scripts. Do you recommend this for all artists?
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts. I have one very declarative statement, which is, yes, you do need some kind of script. You need something to guide you on what you're about to say and your communication. But everybody's different. The point of the script is not to become a robot or to speak things word for word or to forget what you're about to say and completely go off script. The point of the script is to stick to a topic and make sure that you're taking out irrelevant information.
Yeah, 100%. And I would say that becoming skilled at using a script and not having it sound robotic, not having it feel rigid, not it being something that turns it into a negative for you, I think is also a skill to make sure that you're learning.
Yeah, you get better as you go, 100%. If you scroll back to my first attempts at doing this, it was like so not engaging, but that's okay because everybody learns. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say here too as well, you know, like take a look at, you know, if you listen to this episode and then you scrolled back a few years to one of the earlier episodes, I probably sound a lot more robotic too.
Right.
You know, a little bit of practice, but no
stress. We're all getting better. Kindness. Okay. So as opposed to just sitting down in front of your camera to make a video and just talking and just seeing what comes out, that's helpful if you were journaling. But when you're communicating with other people, we need to know, what do you have to say to us right now? So that's the point of the script. The script is going to look different for everybody, but the point of the script is to keep you on topic. And the disclaimer that I want to put on that, because it's very important for people to understand, is that whatever method of preparation that you're going to use to communicate, whatever you choose to do, that method should not take away from your ability to feel what you're saying while you're saying it. So your ability to think and process and re-go through the emotions of what you're talking about in real time. So some cues that might not be happening for you is if you're sitting really still, if you're a hand talker and you're sitting really still and you're looking in one spot and you're being monotonous and you're not having excitement or feeling low in the points that are low points of this story that you're telling. If none of that is happening, that's a signal that you're probably being too rigid with it. And you might need to shake things up a bit to figure out how you want to approach it. Everybody's different though, but yeah, script is preparation. So everybody needs to prepare to communicate something.
All right. So Hannah, how do artists combine all of these pieces of information that we've discussed and still create a sense of authenticity rather than a manufactured brand presence?
A lot of artists that I work with and that I hear and talk to are telling me that they're carrying the weight of all these things that they have to complete. And creating content is something that is really, it can feel really unnatural. I mean, social media in general is just the weirdest, longest, most bizarre experiment, in my opinion, that has come into all of our lives. And it's really uncomfortable to engage in it. And I think that the way that I bypass that and the way that I help my clients do that is by focusing on what is fun about that. And for me, what is fun about that is other people. What's fun about that is remembering that it's not about me. It's called social media for a reason. So when I see someone that inspires me or maybe doesn't fit into, well, this is the post I was going to make today about myself, seeing someone that inspires me and saying, how can I collaborate and support and celebrate other people in a way that also serves me? That is what great posting and great content strategy is being someone who creates a shared experience so that other people feel like they are seen by you and they have a stake in what's happening in your work. So if I got on and posted every day and said, okay, this is my strategy, that's fantastic. But be open to having fun and meeting other people and finding a shared experience with other people. That's how I keep it. That's how I keep it fun. That's how I keep it engaging to my mind. That's how I don't burn out on it, is because I remember that we're not just faceless people posting on this platform because this is what we have to do. We're doing this because this is a chance to connect with people who love your work, who might have other work, who might have other ventures that could inspire you in your work. So pay attention to the social aspect of it and be open and willing. That's how I found your work and your podcast. As I said, this is a great thing that they're doing. They're teaching artists things that are so specific. I want to be a part of that. And just having the patience to wait for those opportunities and to find those people. Because people are what make it great. That's what makes it not a hazardous, perilous experience. It just makes it social media, you know, fun again. It's pretty magical. I guess it is just what you make it.
Hannah, thank you so much for joining us on another episode of The Artist Business Plan.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
I'd like to wrap up by sharing a quick quote with you all. Today's quote is Harley Brown. In painting, as in life, you can get away with a great deal as long as you have your values right. Have an awesome rest of your day, and remember to stay on top of your artist business plan, get out there, and make it happen.
The Artist Business Plan podcast is presented by The Super Fair, the widest ranging art fair in the United States. For more information on applying to The Super Fair, visit our website at thesuperfair.com. There you'll also find our full back catalog of episodes, as well as other resources to help you build your business plan. If you like what you heard, send us a message on Instagram. You can follow us at The Super Fair. Thanks for listening.